We're holding on hoof test valve onward bays, a little above the middle of the onward. Magmar has been spending some time here discussing. Now, given the Torah tells us, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, and we've spent the last daf or two discussing what exactly is meant, what exactly is included in kid, and what exactly is included in mother's milk in that regard. But we discussed the question, how do we know anyway that bas v'chalav is also to eat? The Torah only says, don't cook it. So maybe you're not allowed to cook it together, but maybe you're allowed to eat it. So the Gemara has spent a little time discussing that. So we had a few different ways that Amoroim explain how we that Tanoim and Amoroim explain how we know that it's also to eat and also banam. One of the most straightforward actually is Beda Bishmal Tana in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. We learn a brisa when it says Lois Sabasha Viva Halebeme Gimel Pamim. Three times the Torah says, don't put a kid in its mother's milk. Echad Isra Achila, the Echad Isra Anal, the Echad Isra Bishul. So it teaches us that one of them tells us you can't eat it, one of them tells us you can't have Anal, and one tells us you can't put them together in the first place. So therefore, so three times. So you have all the various other limudim that the Gemara has brought over here before, and now the Gemara is going to bring another one and discuss it in some detail. This is the most straightforward one, and therefore that's the one that we're most familiar with. It actually brings around the psukim, the Gemara quotes it in other places, and it's the most straightforward. Interestingly, the Rambam actually brings in that connection that would come out on the face of it, then they have three different lavim, so therefore it would come out on the person who took that if a person took the bas v'chalav and ate it, and of course eating it has hanah from it as well, on the face of it, he would be over on three lavim, but Rambam actually counts them as only two lavim. He says because we have a rule that the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, which is going to come up a little bit in our sugya over here, that when the Torah tells us something is also to eat, then generally speaking, it also means it's also to have benefit from, unless the Torah otherwise explicitly specifies or we have a limud to that effect. So therefore, since the Torah is already telling us by one of the times that you can't eat it, then Hanah is automatically included as well, and therefore there's no separate law for that. So the Gemara continues, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Isi ben Yehuda. Isi ben Yehuda says, here's another source, Minayim Abbas v'cholav, also, how do we know that Abbas v'cholav is also to eat and to have Hanah? So like this, Nema kan ki am kodesh ata. The Torah says over here, in connection with Vos v'Cholav, don't put the kid in its mother's milk because you are a holy nation to Hashem. But Nema lahalan, you have a different pasuk about Tzrefa. Ba'anshe kodesh tiyunli, be holy people to me, or Vos v'Asav the Tzrefa, lo yisechelu, and don't eat meat that was Tzrefa, that was torn or otherwise injured in the field. So we have Xer Shalom, Allah Havam Osir, Afkan Osir. So just like Terefa is not allowed to eat, as the Torah clearly says, don't eat it. Lo Sechelu, so Afkan Osir, the same way over here when the Torah mentions in connection with Bosa B'Folok, when it mentions that you should be filthy, Am Kodesh Atal, Hashem Elekecha, then it means not to eat it. Okay, the Enli Elabach Chiva, now then, so that would teach us that it's also to eat. So that would tell us that it's also to eat b'hanah minayin. Where would we know that it's also b'hanah? Amarta. So now you can say kal v'chomer. Now for that we can use a kal v'chomer. Uma orla shalenev de ba'aveira. Madach orla fruit where no aveira was done. You're perfectly allowed to plant a tree, but the Torah puts the fruit off limits for 3 years. And nevertheless, asura b'hanah. Nevertheless, orla is also b'hanah, as we learn, as the Gemara learns elsewhere from Sufi. So, Vos v'Cholav shenev by Avera. Well, then Vos v'Cholav and Avera was done by cooking it, because after all, the Torah says you're not allowed to cook them together. Ein adin she'osu b'hanah, wouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that it's also b'hanah? So we can learn it that way, says Isi ben Yehuda. Okay, the problem with that is mala orla shekein lehoisel shasak kosher. On the other hand, you could argue that orla has a chumra in it. Namely, there was never a time when it was mutter, because as soon as you planted the tree, any fruit that it produces during the next 3 years is going to be osir. So there's never a time that you could say it was mutter and later on became osir. So what about, as opposed to Bas v'Cholav, had a Shasak kosher because there was a time before you cooked the milk and the meat together, then they were each perfectly allowed. In fact, Rabbeinu Gershon goes even further. Rabbeinu Gershon points out that it's not only that, even if you mix Vos and Cholov, after all, on a Daraisa level, it's not also, and it's not also Banal. Only if you cook them together. So it comes out, there's a point when you actually have Vosar and Cholov together, and nevertheless, you still, and nevertheless, it's still not also Banal. Nashi elsewhere, the Gemara in Pesachim also was a sugya from Pesachim that deals with this whole matter at length also of Isra Achila and Isra Hanah, and then and Rashi mentions that point as well. On the other hand, Rashi questions it because the fact is, when even if you put them together, even if you soak them together, that is not the definition of Bosa B'cholov. Bosa B'cholov, as the Torah defines it, as Daraisa defines it, is when they're cooked together. So you can't really say that I had a Shasa Kosher when they were put together, as Rabbeinu Gershom says, because the fact is, at that point, it's not Bosa B'cholov either. So what do we mean is whether they had a Shasa Kosher, each one individually, before they were ever mixed together. Okay. So therefore, so you could argue that Bosa B'cholov, given that it had a Shasa Kosher, it ought to be more lenient, maybe, and therefore it should be Mutar B'Hanah, unlike Arva. The answer is Chametz Pesach Yechiyah. Fine, you can prove to the contrary from Chametz on Pesach. The Hoseleh Shasa Kosher, it also had a Shasa Kosher. There was a perfectly good time before Pesach when it was Mutar. But also B'Hanah, and yet on Pesach it's also B'Hanah. So therefore, we can learn from that to Bosa B'cholov as well. Tosfos, by the way, points out that Orla does require, is more stringent than many other Isurim. Like this, we've learned before that most Isurim can be bottle in 60, but Orla requires 200, as we're going to actually talk about soon in the Gemara. Nevertheless, though, that whole concept is only Dirabbanan. There's an Asmachta for it in the Pasuk, but nevertheless, it is actually only Dirabbanan. And therefore, we can't say that that's a Chumrah in Orla, but on the other hand, we can say that, so again, Orla has a Chumrah that's also Banah, but it didn't have Shasa Kosher. On the other hand, Chumrah Pesach is also Banah, and even though it had a Shasa Kosher. So therefore, you can learn from that to Bosa B'cholov. The problem with that, Malach Chumrah Pesach, Shekhen Onur Shkoris, though after all, Chumrah Pesach also has a Chumrah, in that if a person eats it on Pesach, he's Chayav Koris, as opposed to neither Orla nor Bosa B'cholov have that feature. And the answer is Kelaya Kerem. Fine, you can prove from Kelaya Kerem in Onish Forest, a person who eats Kelaya Kerem where grain or vegetables were planted in a vineyard or near a vineyard, where they become also Banah. And nevertheless, a person is not Chai of Koris for eating them, Shein Onish Koris, but also Banah. And yet they're also Banah, so therefore we can use that to derive also. So we can use that to derive also for Bosa B'cholov. Now, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, wait a minute, why do we need to bring in Kelaya Kerem in the first place? Or a lower person has a higher Koris, so for either. So we'll get back to that soon. Okay. So thus far the Brais. So Isi Ben Yehuda says, the fact that you can't eat Bosa B'cholov, we can learn from Zera Shava with Teresa, and the fact that you can't have Hanah, we can learn by considering Orla and Chometz of Pesach and Kelaya Kerem, and then figuring out across those. But now the question is, Loma Li, Gzeira Shava, why do you need the Gzeira Shava from Treifa in the first place? All those three things you mentioned, Orla, Kelaya, Kerem, and Chometz, are all also to eat as well. So Lysi, Kulam, Bakavachoyim, and Orla. Just learn the whole thing by Kavachoyim from Orla, and say, Ma Orla, Shlenev, Deba, Avera, Asura, Ben, Bahilo, Ben, Bahana. Orla, no Avera was done with it. No Avera was done with it, because there's no issue in planting the tree, and yet it's also to eat and have Hanah. Bosa B'cholov, Shenev Debay Avera. Well, then Bosa B'cholov, where an Avera was done, because now it's in a ditch, also Ben Machil or Ben Bahanah, so then it should be a Kavachoyim that it's also to eat and to have Hanah, and you wouldn't need to resort to a Gzeir Shava from Treifa in the first place. So why don't we just do that? Before we get to the answer, by the way, Tosfos points out a couple of things that, for one thing, Orla, all these three things, Orla, Chometz, and Kelaya Kerem, all have to be brunt. So why don't we say that that's a Chumrah across them, if we don't see that Bosa B'cholov has to be brunt dafka. So first of all, Tosfos says, fine, we could learn that as well. We would be able to learn that as well. But anyway, only Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chometz has to be burnt. The Chachamim hold about the other two, fine, they have to be burnt, but they hold that Chometz can be disposed of in any valid way. Then Tosfos also points out, Bosa B'cholov, you have many exceptions. We learned before, it doesn't apply to the meat or milk of a non-kosher animal, for example, etc. But nevertheless, and as opposed to all the other ones, have no exceptions. Tosfos says that's not called an exception, because when you have when you have something that when you have something that would have been included and then it's excluded, then no, with Boss of the Hollow, you don't have even the word pull in the first place, and those are excluded based on various limudim. We said before we wouldn't call that Hutra Mikola, we wouldn't say you have exceptions to the rules.
Okay.
So anyway, so the Gemara is saying, so we could learn from Urla alone, and then fine, if we're going to say that Urla, on the other hand, didn't have Shasa Kosher, then we'll go through the same thing with Cholos of Pesach and Kalaya Kerem, but why do we need to bring in Shreifa, and why do we need to bring in the Gzeira Shava from Shreifa in the first place? And the answer is, Mishum de Ikhla Neymar, because if you're going to try that kind of argument, you could argue, on the other hand, Chodesh B'Shor V'Hamer, V'Chosim P'Para Yechiyah. The Doshva Yechia. On the other hand, it continues to the contrary from cases where a person plows with an ox and donkey together, which we know the Torah tells us is also, or a person muzzles his ox when it's threshing the grain, Yechia he can prove from them. Kinev de Behem Aveira, and Aveira was done with them, Vishoru, and nevertheless it sought after his mutter. A previous Gemara before on Puf Yadalad Amad Beis and Puf Kesav Abba Manala had discussed the point that when the Torah tells us something is Toyeva, something is disgusting to Hashem, then automatically that means you're not allowed to eat it. And therefore we can learn from that. So when the Torah says Lois Seif are called Toyeva, then it includes other things as well, that includes various things that are also what the Gemara discusses. On the other hand, we see that that's not a rule across the board, because for example, if a person plows with an ox and a donkey, and then grows grain or whatever kind of crop over there, or if he muzzles the ox while he's threshing, he's getting malchus for what he did, but nevertheless the product is mutter. So you see that just because an aveda was done with something is not a reason to ask for the product. So therefore we wouldn't be able to do, so therefore we could argue with Basi Bacholov. So what, an aveda was done with it? An aveda is also done by muzzling the ox, and yet the grain doesn't become also. In fact, there's an explanation earlier, actually, there's a discuss that the Gemara may even be asking the question, maybe the ox itself should be also because an aveda was done with it. Be that as it may, here you don't have any of that. So neither the ox becomes also, nor does the grain, nor does the produce. So the same way, just because you put Basi Bacholov together, and it was an aveda, doesn't necessarily mean the product is also. Therefore, we first have to start with Xeira Shava to say that it's also to eat. And Xeira Shava, you can't slog up that easily. Then we can learn the Isra. I'm not from a Kalafoya. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. Long the name of Kalaya Kedem Yechidu. Now, why do we need to prove? So in other words, Tosfos explains, in other words, now, in effect, we're saying, a kavachomer, we're saying, just like it's also to eat, which that we can learn from the Gzeira Shava, from Tereva, now, it's the same way, it's also b'hanal, whereas by plowing with an ox and a donkey, et cetera, those things, there's neither an Isra Achila nor an Isra Hanal. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lomali the Meimah, Kelaya Kerem Yechichu. Now, why did the Braisa have to bring in Kelaya Kerem after we went through Urla? And he said, but Urla didn't have a Shasa Kosher. So we said, Chomets of Pesach. But Chomets of Pesach was Onush Koris. Fine, at that point, why do we need to bring in Kelaya Kerem? Lema Urla Techia. All we need to do at that point is bring in Urla again. Vila Heder Dinah Veloisev Matzah. And you could go back and forth, and you have a Tzadah Shavah for them. The Tzadah Shavah is both of them are also to eat, and they're also Bahanah, even though only one of them had a Shasa Kosher, named the Chomets of Pesach, and only one of them is Onish, only one of them didn't have a Shasa Kosher, named the Urla, and only one of them is Chayav Kodesh, named the Chomets, and yet both of them have this in common, that they're both also to eat and also Bahanah. So we can learn a Tzadah Shavah that way. Why do we need Kalaya Kerem at all? And the answer is, Amar Abashi, Mishum de Iklamem and Nevela Techiach, because you could prove to the contrary from Nevela. After all, a Nevela is also to eat, but it's mutter to have Anah, so you could argue the same thing would be true of Basa B'Cholav. So now, on the other hand, when it comes to now, when we bring in Kalaya Kerem, then we can say, oh, well, the difference is Kalaya Kerem is like Basa B'Cholav in the sense that an Aveda was done. There's no aveda that was done to produce a nevela. The animal just died on its own or didn't have a proper shritta. But with Kalaya Kerem, we see that an aveda was done, and the result is the thing is also to eat and also to have anah. So therefore, now we can say that we can learn from that to Basa B'Cholav. However, a Mordechai points out to Ravashi, that kind of argument is not going to work. You cannot slug up the Tzadah Shavah with that kind of thing by bringing in a side thing in the veda. He says, Tachi Aminim, which made the Rosh Lakish. We, in our yeshiva, says Reb Mordechai, learn in the name of Rosh Lakish that the rule is Tol Mahatzad, whenever you have a Tzad HaShoda, whenever you're going to have this kind of thing. You have two things, each of which has a unique feature of its own, which the other one doesn't have, and nonetheless, they still have something in common, a Tzad HaShoda, then we can learn from that to, we can learn from that to other things as well. But, says Reb Mordechai, the rule is the best. Migufoy Parchinan. If you want to shlug up that kind of Tzad HaShoda, you have to have from something within it itself. So if you can demonstrate, for example, if let's say you have here Ola and Chometz HaPesach, if you can demonstrate that each one of them, you're going to say they have a Tzad HaShoda. If you can find, though, that they have something else in common, which Basa B'Cholov does not, then you can shlug up the Tzad HaShoda. But to bring in something else, to say, yeah, but I can find something else that has the same characteristics, and nevertheless is not. That's not a valid pircha, that's not a valid way of slogging up the Tzad HaShoda. Okay, so you have something else that has different rules, fine, but within these two things themselves, at least you have a commonality between them, and the only commonality between them is the Basa B'Anah, which Basa, and therefore we can apply that to Basa B'Cholov as well. So therefore, so says Reb Mordechai to Rashi, you're trying to say that you can shlug up the Tzad HaShoda by bringing in Nevela. That's not how it works. Rashi says, well then, we're back to the question. Then why don't we use a Tzad HaShoda? Why did the B'nai have to bring in Kilaya Kerem and not just do a Tzad HaShoda between Orla and Chometz HaPesach to say that the same thing should apply to Basa B'Cholov? And the answer is, Mishum de Ikra Mikrach, Sarah Mordechai says, yes, because there's a different Pircha that you didn't consider. Mala, Tzad HaShoda, Shabbat, Shabbat, Gidule Karto. Because consider, what do Orla and Kelaya Kerem both have in common? They're both things that grow from the ground. So therefore, you could say, maybe that's enough of a commonality that therefore they're both also Bahana. Basa B'Cholov, neither one grows from the ground. They're both animal products. So therefore, so that you could slug up the Tzad HaShoda that way. So Rashi says, Yvochi, Hashnami, Ikra. Well, then, even now, you're going to prove from Kalai Kerem, you have the same problem. Orla and Chometz HaPesach, we were talking about so far. Orla and Chometz HaPesach are both Gidulei Karka. Orla is fruits from a tree, and Chometz is one of the five grains which roll from the ground that became Chometz. So now Rav Ashi says, though, fine. So what does it help to bring Kalai Kerem? Hashnami Ikla Mifrach. Now also you could slog up the same thing, Mal Kalai Kerem, Shekin Gidulei Karka. That Kalai Kerem is also something that grows from the ground. So how are you going to learn from it to Basa B'Cholov, which is not? Rav Ashi says to Rav Ashi, let me explain how the rule works. Tachi Aminim Mishmei Dirish Lokish. This is what we say in the name of Rish Lokish. Kol Mahasad, whenever we have a Mahasad, a Tzad HaShoda, between two things, it is true Parchin and Kol Dehu. We can slug it up with anything, even if you find any kind of commonality between them, you can slug it up. So therefore, it's true. When we have Ola and Chometz HaPesach, even just now, you could argue, so what if they're Gidulei Karka, so what if they grow from the ground? That's neither a Kola nor a Chomra. Why should that matter? Nevertheless, we can say that matters, and we can slug up the Tzad HaShoda with it. However, once we have Loi Imamarta, Choda Mechoda, however, when you have an argument that no, you're going to say how could you apply it to Gedulei Karka to Kilayim, which is also Gedulei Karka? Once you do that, Choda Mechoda. So now until now you were trying to learn from one place, and now you can't. Then if you want to slug it up, you need an actual chula or an actual chumra in the thing that you're bringing in now. So in other words, not something that's neither a chula nor a chumra. So in other words, in short, the Mordechai is saying that the rule is like this. It's true. If we just had Orla and Chometz HaPesach, then you could have a pure for Kol Dehu. Even the slightest objection would be enough to break up that Tzad HaShoda. Namely, that they all grow from the ground. Because then, and you could say, what is it? So it grows from the ground. Big deal. Why does that matter? Nevertheless, we can say that matters. And you could say maybe the concept of being Osa B'Ana should apply only to those. But once you say, on the other hand, consider Kilaya Kerem, once you bring in a third thing and saying, Loi, no, imamarta, but if you're going to say by this, but what about by this? Once you do that, then if you want to shrug it up, then you need an actual kavachomer. You need something which is going to be more lenient or more stringent in the third thing, but not holder who like pasinim. But you can't shrug it up with something colder who like that. The fact that it's gedulei karka doesn't matter. So it's not just a tzad hashava. You're also bringing in kelayim, and you want to argue that kelayim shouldn't count because gedulei karka, that doesn't matter. You want to learn a kula, then that you can do. You can say that you have a something else, a kula in it, or you have a chumra in something else. So for example, an orla had no shasa kosher, chomis pesach had koris, but now to say gedulei karka, that doesn't matter. Okay, fine. So Rav Ashi says. Fine, but in that case, then why are you saying first you have a tzad hashava and then you're going to say yes, but we're also bringing in a third thing? Well, then why don't we just say fine, we have a tzad hashava, of course, three things, and say malakulu shekhen gedulei karka. So in other words, instead of you're arguing with a Mordechai that you have a tzad hashava between two things, which you could have schlogged up by saying the gedulei karka, and then you can say yes, but kilayachem is also gedulei karka, but you could say the Kilaya Kerem is also Bahana, and then once you do that, then you can't argue Gedulei Karka anymore because that's unimportant. The only thing you can look for is a Pola or a Chumra. So Rav Ashi says, why are you doing it piecemeal like that? Just say to begin with, you have three things, Orla, Chometz, Pesach, and Kilaya Kerem, all of which are also Bahakila and also Bahana. But then, and what's the Tzad Hashava? Namely, that they're also Bahana, apply that to Basava Falav, and then it would be valid to say, yeah, but all of them are Gedulei Karka, all of them grow from the ground, and therefore it's not then. And therefore, it's not valid. Which Tosfos points out from Kilaya Kerem, we could just learn on the face of it with a Mamotzinu. We don't even need a Tzad Hashava. But nevertheless, the question is, if we're going to learn a Kavachomer across the three of them, then how is that going to work when you can easily slug it up by saying the fact is all three of them grow from the ground? So the Gemara says, Ela Omele to Mordechai le Rav Ashi. So rather, the Mordechai says to Rav Ashi, fine, we have to refine what we said before. Hochei Aminu Mishmei de Rishlokish. This is what we say in the name of Rishlokish. When you're learning one thing from another, namely when you just have a plain binyan ab, as we started with, we wanted to learn only from Erla, then kula v'chomer palchinen, kodeh hu lo palchinen. Then you want to point out that one has a kula, that the other one that has a kula as well as a chumra, and the other one has a chumra as well as a kula, you can do that. So we can argue, you wanted to learn from Erla to Basav HaFalav, you can say, yeah, but Erla had no shasa kosher. That's considered a chumra in the sense, in other words, from when it came into existence, already to begin with it was also. So then we can do that. But to make just a kolderu argument, that we can't do. So we can't say, yeah, but Orla grows from the ground and Basav HaFalav does not. That wouldn't be considered a serious objection. Now, if you want to learn one thing from two things, namely when you're going to have a tzad hashava, once you're going to try to do Orla and Chometz HaPesach, where you're going to say Chometz HaPesach did have a shasa kosher, and yet it's also bana, then I feel a kolderu bachinan, now that we're trying to do a tzad hashava between two things, then you could even use a kol dehu argument. You could even use an argument that is unimportant as far as kola and chumra. Then, and now in this particular case, we actually had, because we pointed out that chometz has kores involved. But even if we didn't, even if chometz and pesach for, let's say didn't have kores, nevertheless we could still say the fact is orla and chometz and pesach are both gedulei karka, and that's reason enough to not compare them to basav HaFalav. There's a Ksav Yad of Rashi over here. That's a Ksav Yad of Rashi that's brought over here on the side, where Rashi gives a different view than before in the Gemara in the Braisa itself. Not in the Braisa itself, but in the Gemara over here, that when it's one of two or one of three, then either way you need some kind of svara. So therefore we can't ask gedulei karka because there's no svara. There's no svara to that. There's no particular reason to argue that isu hanah should be tied to it being gedulei karka in the first place. Tosfos also discusses the same point as well. So in the Braisa, as soon as it said chometz pesach, yeah, then it should say gedulei karka, and then we can't bring in kelaya keren. So, Tosfos says that sort of to begin with brought all three, and also you can also point out, let's say for example you have meat of a korban brought to Avodah Zarah, which is also where it's also bana, even though it doesn't grow from the ground. So the point is, though, when we have two things, then we can do even kolderhu. So then an argument such as, but these are gedulei karka and bosa b'cholav is not, would be a valid counter-argument. But chodem mitzvahs, but when you're learning one out of three things, as the Gemara, as the Braisa ends up saying, we want to learn from the combination of olah and chometz pesach and also kelaya perem, so then, so now it depends. If you're going to find a way of slogging up the matzad between the three of them, if we could find that there's a chumra or a kula that's relevant in kilayim, then you could say pachin and kolderhu. Then we can use any kind of argument to slog up the whole thing. We would say, in other words, we would break it down in two stages. We would say kilaya kerem is not a valid boost because it has a kula or a chumra of its own. And then at that point we have two things left, Orla and Chometz Pesach, and those two things we could just slog up with kolderhu. We could say those are gedulei karka, the Eloi. But if not, if there's nothing that we can knock out kilaya kerem, kol of chumra pachinen, kolderhu loy pachinen. Then in order to slog it up, we would need an actual kol or chumra, but not just a kolderhu. Rashi explains that all of this would be, this is how the Midas have given over to us Misinai. Mordechai is telling Ravashi that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave us from Hashem the Torah together with the rules for interpreting it, and among them are the rules of Kal V'Chomer and Sada Shava and all that, among them are these rules of when you can slog it up with kolderhu with any kind of argument versus when you need a kula versus a chumra. The Ran points out there's a svara in it as well. When you're learning from three things, so now if you bring in the third thing, if you want to then knock it out, so fine. But you see, you have two other things, and they have the same chumra, and then you have a third thing which has no chumra and never no extra chumra, and nevertheless, therefore, you need an actual svara. But if you're going to learn only from two places. And the fact is, you only have one proof that the chumra doesn't depend on that other chumra, and therefore you can slug it up with anything. Okay, so in other words, in short, so that's why the Braisa had to bring in three things. It couldn't have brought in Orla and Chometz Pesach, because then we could slug that up with kolderhu, with any kind of unimportant argument, even to the extent of that they're all gedulei karka. But once we have three things, if you were to find, for example, that Kelaya Terem has a certain other chumra which Bosa B'Cholav does not, then you could say, well, that's the reason why it has the chumra of being Osa B'Hana, and then knock it out of the Sada Shava. But if you can't find that, then it's valid, and the fact that all three of them grow from the ground and Bosa B'Cholav does not make a difference. Okay. So that's the reason why the Braisa had to structure things the way they did. Okay, but the Gemara asks the Lichrus, but you do have a pircha on that. Now the Kelaya Kerem Shalai Chikain Lehos Kelahen Chasa Kosher. Again, Kelaya Kerem never had a time when they were mutter, because on the face of it, what's also, the Gemara assumes at this point that when the actual seed that you plant there in the vineyard doesn't become also, only the product of it, only the plant that grows from it. Well then, and that plant, to begin with, Ruba Isser, and never had a Shasa Kosher. So then you could say that Orla and Kalaya Kerem both have this in common, Loi Hoysala and Shasa Kosher, and that would be reason enough to knock out Kalaya Kerem as a third thing, because it's not similar to Bosa B'Cholav, which, as we said before, had a Shasa Kosher. So the answer is Omer of Adava Ava. Zoisemeres. So this shows us, this demonstrates to us, Kelaya Kerem Ikar Nesa. As a matter of fact, with Kelaya Kerem, not only the plant that grows from it is also, but even the original thing that was planted also, once it took root, also becomes it also. Therefore, well, very well then. So it had a shasa kosher before it took root. So in other words, exactly that. If you were to, for example, go and plant a vegetable in a vineyard, but not just to keep things more simple, let's say a seed. You plant, let's say a wheat kernel in a vineyard. Not only is the wheat stalk that later on grows from that kernel going to be also, but even the kernel itself, so you plant it in the ground, once it takes root, is also going to be also bahana. So therefore, so you can say it had a shasa kosher. Well, the Gemara says, Masir Rav Shmaya Bar Zeira. Well, Rav Shmaya Bar Zeira says, then I have a contradiction to that. A Mishnah says in Sofim, a mother otzit nokuv b'kerem, suppose a person, And by the way, Tosfos points out in that connection, when you say ikonesar, it would mean not only the fruit of it, not only the edible part of it, but apparently even the straw or the wood would be also as well. And Tosfos discusses that point. So Mosif of Shmai Bazeir. If a person takes a flower pot with a hole in it, which has seeds growing in it, and he walks with it through a vineyard. Now, the seeds in it are grain or vegetables or whatever. They can't be in a vineyard. And now, because the flower pot has a hole, then we consider throughout Shas that it's able to draw nutrients from the soil through the hole. Even if it's not on the ground, it's still outgassing or vapors or whatever from the earth are able to go into the hole and benefit the plant that's in the flower pot. So the Mishnah says, Im hoisif masayim also. Now, if that plant were to grow 1/200th more than it was before, then while it's in the vineyard, it would be also. Meaning, in other words, at that point you have 199 parts of Heter and one part of Isser that grew while it was in the vineyard, and Erla, like we touched on before, requires 200 to be Mevatalot. So now you don't have because now you have the amount that's also is more than one, there's less than 200 parts of Heter against it. So therefore it would be also. How do you tell, by the way, whether it actually grew 1/200th? The Yerushalmi explains what you do is you take a seed or plant or whatever of the same kind and leave it to dry out thoroughly. Measure the amount of time it took to dry out and then divide that by 200 to get how long it'll take in its growth cycle to grow 1/200th. So the example is, let's say, for example, it takes this thing 100 hours to dry out thoroughly, then you know it means that the growth of it also took 100 hours. Now, of course, it was a lot more than 100 hours since you planted it. 100 hours is only a little over 4 days. Most plants take a lot more than that, but the point is plants have their growth. The growth period and the rest period. They grow, they rest, they grow, they rest. The total amount of growth time then we will take to have been 100 hours. Therefore, a half hour will be enough to it for it to grow by 1/200th and therefore to become awesome. The point is, in other words, says Rav Shmai Bar Zeira, Hosif Ein Lo Hosif Loi. So in other words, only if it grew by 1/200th is it going to be also, because then you don't have enough to be Mevatel the Issur. But if it didn't increase, then it's not also. Even though it had taken root and even though it grew a little bit. So what are you telling me that, for example, if you plant a wheat seed in a vineyard, then as soon as it takes root, even before it's actually started growing in size, it's going to be also? And if you don't say that, then again, you have the question that Kalaya Kerem never has Shasta Kosher, because the original seed that you planted is never going to become ulcer. All that's going to be ulcer is the product of it, which never had Shasta Kosher, because to begin with, from when it started growing, it was ulcer. The answer is Amar Abaye. Abaye says the reason why there's a difference is Trei Kroy Ksiv, because there are two relevant psukim about Kalaya Kerem from this past week's parasha. Ksiv Pentik Dashamaleya, in the same pasuk, actually. Ksiv Pentik Dashamaleya. First, the pasuk says that you're not allowed to plant kelayim in your vineyard lest the meleya become holy. And when you say holy, we mean off limits. It becomes osavana. Now, meleya, the fullness seems to imply what was added to what grew, what was there originally. Then the pasuk continues, hazera, the seed. So that implies the seed itself that you planted is also. Okay, so how do you reconcile it? So it only the meleya, is it only the outgrowth of the seed that's also, or is it the seed itself? Okay, so zaruah me'ikre b'hashrasha. So the difference is, if it was planted to begin with in the vineyard, then it becomes also, then the seed itself right away becomes also as soon as it roots in the ground. Zeruah uba, but if you have something that was already planted, as in this case with the flower pot, where the grain or the vegetables were already growing in it from beforehand, before you walk with it into the vineyard, then hoisif ein or hoisif loy, then you're going to have the rule of the Mishnah that only if it added 1/200th is it going to become usur. So that's how we understand. So sometimes Hazera will become usur, and sometimes only Hamaleah will become usur. Well, then we just said before, Kelaya Kerem, had Shasa kosher, well, because that's a typical example. Most of the time, they had Shasa kosher, it's typical because most of the time, you plant a seed most of the time. How is Kalaya Kerem done? It's not like walking with a flower pot that was already planted through it, with something already planted in it through the vineyard. Most of the time, is a person who's planting something in or near his vineyard to begin with. And therefore, so it has Shasa kosher until it takes root and then it itself becomes also. So therefore, we can in fact learn from Kelaya Kerem and say that it had a Shasa kosher and nevertheless is also Bana, and therefore we can say Basa B'Cholov is the same kind of thing. Okay. So now we have like this. So we had the Mishnah had said that Basa B'Cholov is also Bana, is also to eat and also Bana, and we had a number of different, and the Gemara had mentioned a number of different Tanoim and Amoraim who brought various sources how we know it's also Bana. We had, there was a Shlokish saying that we learned from a Pesach that mentioned the connection of the Korban Pesach. You have something that Rebbe said that when it says, Loi Techlenu, don't eat it, means Basa B'Cholov. And then he learns Hanah from it, and then he learns Hanah from a different Pesach. Rabbi Yezah says you learn from Nevela. Rabbi Shmuel says you learn from the fact that it says, Loi Sivash Viva Halevimoy. And Isi Ben Yehuda says, as we just learned now, that we learn it from the Sada Shava between Orla and Chomus of Pesach and Kelaya Kerem. Okay. However, the Gemara points out, Masnisim Deloiki Hai Tana. Well, our Mishnah, though, is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Omi Mishun Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rav Shimon. Plain Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. So he had a Talmud who had the same first name as him, and he's called throughout Shasta, and he's called with his patronymic, with his father's name as well, to distinguish him from his Rebbe. So Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rav Shimon, ben Yehuda, that is, Basa B'Cholov, Basa B'Achelor, Mota B'Hanah. He says that Basa B'Cholov is indeed also to eat, but he holds it's actually mutter to have an offering. Shenema, because he says, because the Pasuk says, Kiham Kodeshata, the Pasuk says you're a holy nation. Now this was where Isi ben Yehuda used that for Zer Shava to say that it's also to eat in the first place. So Reb Shimon says, very well, I'm going to use the same Zer Shava, but I'm going to use it in a different way. The Torah is telling us you have to be holy people and not eat Trefa. Well, Malahalan also b'achilu mutabana. Trefa is also to eat, but it's mutter to have anah. Afkan also b'achilu mutabana. The same way says Reb Shimon, that Basa B'Cholov is also to eat, but Mutter, what is going to be Mutter B'Hanah. So Reb Shimon takes the Kal V'Chomer, but he doesn't do the Kal V'Chomer. Now, why not? Because Tosfos explains, because Reb Shimon holds Ein Gzeira Shava L'Mechza. You can't use a Gzeira Shava by halves. If you're going to learn from one thing to another by Gzeira Shava, then you have to learn the entire thing. So you can learn from it, not just Isra Achila, but also the fact that it's Mutter B'Hanah. Meanwhile, Isi Ben Yehuda is going to say that the fact that there's a Kabachomer is enough to add something to that. The Zeta Shava will tell us one thing, and then the Kabachomer will tell us that, after all, they're not contradicting one another. The Zeta Shava doesn't explicitly tell us it's Mutabana, it just tells us also about Chila. Therefore, Isi Ben Yehuda holds the Kabachomer is valid to learn an Isur Hanah as well. Tosfos also adds that after all, another point also is after all, the pasuk about Ubas Basada Trefa is not just talking about Trefa as what we learned about in the third and fourth perek of Amasekta. It also applies to Kodshim Shiyotzu Chutzam Chitzasan. It also includes the din that if Kodshim were taken out of the zone where they're supposed to be in, Kodshim out of the Azara, Kodshim Kalim out of Yerushalayim, that they're also to eat, and those are in fact also Bahana as well. Well, therefore, so Isi Ben Yehuda says you can learn from that. So you can learn not just from regular Trefa, you can also learn from Bosses to Yotzah Chutzam Chitzasan, whereas Reb Shimon says, look, the fact is, the fact of the Pasuk is referring to Trefa, and therefore, and Trefa is not also Bahana, and neither should Bosses B'Cholov. So our Mishnah does not follow Reb Shimon in that regard. This is, by the way, one of the examples. You know, we have, it's actually the excerpt of the Kotel Levi Yitzchak that's in this week's Chayenu discusses this point, that even though as great as Reb Shimon was, and he brought it down to us, the secrets of the Torah, and proposed the Zohar, and so forth, and there are many things in Shas and in Midrashim about how surpassingly great he was, nevertheless, when it comes to deciding halacha, we don't look at such factors. We Torah Lo B'Shamayim, he after all, and we look at other factors. And here, the majority of the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon, and therefore we have the rule Achrei Rabim Lahatis, and the result is that Basa B'Cholov is in fact also B'Hanah. Okay. Now, in the Mishnah, we said Rabbi Akiva had said that wild animals and birds, that the meat of them is also midrabbanan to have with milk, but it's not minat Torah. Because he says, when it says, three times, then it means one of them tells us not a chaya, one tells us not a bird, and one tells us not a behemoth man. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Didn't we use all those times when it says to learn the various dinim that Shmuel had said a couple of dafim ago, where he had said that we learned from that that it includes chaylev, and that it includes chaylev, and it includes the unborn baby, and it doesn't include the shilya, and so on and so forth. So how is Rabbi Akiva also using from those to learn that the chaya and oif are not included? So the answer is because Rabbi Akiva isu chal al isu, because Rabbi Akiva holds one isu can be chal on another. So therefore, so you don't need a special pasuk to tell us in each of these cases. So therefore, chaylev or meisa like tzvichikra. So the fact that you can't put the fact that chaylev with milk would be osir as basa b'chalav. You don't need a pasuk for that. True, chaylev is already osir, but now you want to put another isu on top of it. So what isu chal al isu and meisa when the animal died as a nevela, the same thing. It's already osir as nevela. You could argue as Shmuel did before. That it can't now become more also as possible follow. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Rabbi Akiva is going to say one issue can come on top of another. So therefore, you don't even need a pasuk to tell us that those things should be also. And what about the shlil? And what about an unborn baby in the womb? Rabbi Akiva is going to hold gdi malyo, it's a full-fledged animal. So again, you don't need a separate limud for it. You don't need a separate time where it says gdi. Automatically, when it says gdi, it's going to include the baby found alive in the mother's womb. So you don't need any of those drushas, yachu, lahu, kulu. Therefore, you have all three times when it says gedi, where it's extra. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva can learn from that trap, and therefore that excludes wild kosher animals and birds and non-kosher animals. So Shmuel, who holds ein isur, halal isur, he's going to need, without that, we would have thought, Caleb is already also by itself. How can the isur, boss of a halal, come on it? And the same thing with the other ones, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Rivi says, Nema lo soichlu, the pasuk says, don't eat nevela, and it says, lo sevach viva halevimai. And he says, so therefore the rule is going to be like this, because it says nevela and lo sevach viva halevimai, back to back. Therefore, we have a hekesh between them. Whatever is going to be also because of nevela is also subject to basa b'chalav. But then when it says b'chalevimai, it means not birds because they don't have mother's milk. So you asked me the other day, by the way, why it says b'chalevimai with a vav and not b'chalevim. So that's why b'chalevim would mean the milk of any mother. B'chalevimai means it has to at least be of a species that produces milk. So in any case, Rabbi Yosef really seems to be saying then. So Rabbi Yosef really is saying that whatever is subject to nevela is subject to basa b'chalav, but not births. So the Gemara says, "My ikar ben Rabbi Yosef really Rabbi Akiva." Okay, so where is the actual machlokes? What's the actual practical difference of opinion between Rabbi Yosef really and Rabbi Akiva? The answer is the ikar ben Rabbi Yosef chaya. The argument between them would be as far as a wild kosher animal like a deer. Rabbi Yosef really sovar. Rabbi Yosef really is going to hold chaya daraisa. That the issue of a wild kosher animal in milk is going to be daraisa. Because after all, a wild animal is subject to nevela as well. But Rabbi Akiva Sabah Dirabanan. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is going to hold it's only Dirabanan. Rabbi Akiva Sabah Chaya Dirabanan. Rabbi Akiva is going to hold that Chaya is also only Dirabanan. Because according to him, the word Gdi, one of the times that it says Gdi, he's holding takes away Chaya. So that's one difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yisrael. Another point is oif ikabinai, the argument between them can be as far as a bird. Rabbi Akiva sava chaya v'oif ein in natura. Rabbi Akiva holds that chaya and oif are not in natura, implying, according to him, they're also drabbanon. Homo drabbanon asiri, implying that they are also drabbanon. Rabbi Yisagli sava, whereas Rabbi Yisagli is going to hold oif afilim drabbanon nami lo osir. You know what? A bird, he's going to say, is not even also drabbanon. So you have two arguments, in other words. So in short, like this, when it comes to behemoth tmeya, everybody's going to agree that it's not included in the isur daraisa of basa b'chalav, and therefore, for example, meat of a tame animal cooked with milk is not going to be also banah, so you could feed it to your dog, for example. Any kind of behemoth tahora, on the other hand, everybody agrees, is also as basa b'chalav. According to the majority of Tanoim, it's also both b'achila and b'ana. According to the Shimon, only to eat, but not b'ana. As far as chaya and oif, now I'm saying, so according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, all three of them, the Hema, Chaya, and Oif, are all also in the Torah with milk and also Bana. According to the Akiva, Chaya, Chaya and Oif are also only the Rabbana. And according to Rabbi Yosef, really, Chaya is also Daraisa, and Oif is not even also at all, even in the Rabbana. And the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hoki. In fact, we learn like that in a Braisa. Now you have like this. There's machlokas in a number of places in Shas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about machshirei mitzvah. We know there are certain mitzvahs which, even though the fulfillment of that mitzvah in and of itself, the action to do the mitzvah, is a malacha of Shabbos, nevertheless we have cases where they override Shabbos. Mila, when it's on the eighth day, the Korban Pesach, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we have a couple of examples like that. Now Rabbi Eliezer holds that not only in those cases, not only is the mitzvah itself override Shabbos, but even the prerequisites for it. So for example, as we're going to talk now about a bris mila, let's say for example you have a bris mila that's to be done on Shabbos and you don't have a knife available. Rabbi Akiva is going to hold, and this is the halacha, that if you don't have a knife, tough luck. Well, you can't make one on Shabbos. You can't bring it in a way of chilul Shabbos. So if you don't have a knife, and you know, so okay, you have ginyan that you can have a goy bring it under certain circumstances. But in any case, if not, if you don't have that option, then look, you're going to have to postpone the bris. As opposed to Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're actually allowed to bring a knife on Shabbos through the Shasarabim, and in fact, you're even allowed to forge a knife on Shabbos if you don't have one available. And you have a number of other examples like that in Shas where Rabbi Akiva holds, where Rabbi Eliezer rather holds of this concept. And not only the mitzvah is Dorisha Shabbos, but even the machshirim of Indian. Well then, so Braisa says, in Koyman, Shor Rav Eliezer, in Rav Eliezer's hometown where he was the Rav, indeed, Hoyu Kursin Eitzim, if a bris came out on Shabbos, and they didn't have a knife, they would chop wood, lasas techomin, to make charcoal, lasas barzel, to make a metal implement that they could use for shvita, and all of this would take place on Shabbos. So we see that they held the Rebbe Eliezer and Paskin that you can do machshirei mila on Shabbos, even though those involved many malachas, and in his hometown they actually Paskin like him in practice. Similarly, in Rebbe Yisagwili's hometown, they would eat brewed meat with milk because Rebbe Yisagwili holds its mutter even in Abanon, and the people of his town followed that and would do accordingly. So in fact, the Gemara tells in this connection, Levi Ikla the Bei Yosef Rishva. Levi one time visited the house of Yosef Rishva. Now Rishva can mean the bird trapper, as you have the word Rishva means a net for trapping birds. Elsewhere, Rashi brings a different explanation. That Rishva can also mean Rosh base of the head of his family. Whatever the case, this is, so Levi one time visited that household. They brought him the halava. They brought him a head of a tabsa. Tavos on the face of it means a peacock. So it might mean the peacock, it might mean an actual peacock, which in those times at least was known to be a kosher bird, even if nowadays we don't recognize it as such because we don't have a masoda, but the other possibility is maybe a tabos is a different type of bird. Whatever it was a bird's head cooked in milk. And he didn't object to it. So he himself maybe didn't eat it, but he didn't object that you eat it, that you're serving chayv. Yeah, Rashi in fact translates tabsa by a French word that means a peacock. So evidently Rashi holds that peacock is in fact a kosher word. Okay, in any case, so Levi did not object that you're serving vasa b'cholav. He also came to Rebbe when Levi came to visit Rebbe, who was his Rebbe, and he told him what happened. Omalei, so Rebbe says, they're obviously doing something wrong over here. They're serving Bosom of Holom. Amai loitz shamtino. Why don't you put them in Nidui for the fact that they're being blatantly or run Isu from the Torah, or at least the Rabbana. Omalei, so Levi said, Asri did we hurt him because this is where at this place where Yosef Rishka lives. Is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder's hometown. Va'amina, so I thought to myself, Dorash Lu, could Rabbi Yosef Agrivi, maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, darshan to them, like Rabbi Yosef Agrivi's opinion, where he says that the Torah is excluding a bird, since it has no mother's milk, and therefore it's mutter, and even Dirabanan, to eat it with milk, and therefore, so I figured maybe their local Rav holds that it's allowed, and therefore I didn't criticize them, but I'm not going to eat it myself, but they maybe were entitled to follow that opinion. In later times, eventually, the halacha was passed in, like Rabbi Akiva. In general, we have a rule, halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mei chaveroi, that when there's individual tanoim against Rabbi Akiva, usually the halacha is like him. And so it is over here. So brood milk. So most of the Rishonim passed in this way. So therefore, the result is that the meat of broods or of wild kosher animals is also to eat with milk, but only derabanan deraisa the iser would apply only to deraisa the iser would apply only to domestic animals. And again, the nafkamina were major nafkamina, given that they're all also anyways. Also is also, but a major nafkamina would be if they were cooked together. Is it also bahana, so then it won't necessarily be also bahana. It will be multi bahana, and therefore you'd be able to feed it. Therefore you'd be able to feed it to a dog or whatever. So that's the halacha. So not like Rabbi Yehuda said, really, that it's completely mutter with birds, but not like the chacham that it's also jarais. The Mishnah says. Now, when you shef the baby animal, the baby has nursed from its mother. Many times you're going to find milk in it. Many times you're going to find fertile milk in its stomach. Now, that milk is obviously not drinkable, but you can use it as a starter to make cheese or whatever. So now you have two different possibilities. You have what we call keva, which is the contents of the stomach, the curdled milk, and then we're going to talk about ur keva, which is the skin, the lining of the stomach itself. So you have there's an enzyme in it. There's an enzyme in the stomach of baby animals, and it's found in the milk as well. That enzyme is called rennet, and you need that enzyme to make cheese. Nowadays they have artificial ones, but the original, and even in the times of the Goyim already, they had started to develop artificial types of rennet from plants or whatever. But in the times of the Gemara, the way to make cheese was that with rennet from an animal. So now, kevas ovikichav mishon aveivan. So now, if you have the stomach contents, the gilled milk, the curdled milk that's in the stomach of an animal that shel ovikichav means of a goy. So on the face of it, it means that a goy shefted it. The shel neveva or of a neveva animal. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, wait a minute. Any time a goy sheft, it's automatically neveva. Why do you have two different cases? We're going to get back to that. In any case, arezu asura, so that keva is also, because, in other words, so even though you could argue, but it's not the actual animal itself, it's only curdled milk that was found in its stomach, nevertheless, it's also, as much as the animal itself is also, so is the curdled milk. So therefore, it's also. We'll see in the Gemara what the difference is, what we mean over here by of a goy or of nevela. When on the face of it, those are the same thing. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues. Hamam and ba'osha keva k'sheira. On the other hand, if a person uses to make cheese, he uses a piece of stomach of a kosher animal, so an animal that was properly shefted. So then he's going to put it together with the milk and turn it into cheese. So im yesh benoisit tam harezu asura. So now, if it has a flavor of meat, then it's going to be asur, because then it's going to be basar v'chalav. So we say over here kevas k'sheira, that we're talking about over here. The keva itself came from a kosher animal, but you still have a potential problem of basar v'chalav. Hagoyza back changes it to the word, takes out the word k'sheira, and just ba'osho keva. A person uses a piece of the stomach, and in fact, the reef has a gusa nevela, and Hagos Abach takes it out of there as well. So, in other words, even if it's cheder, then it's no sin tam. How much more so if it was nevela? Now the Rambam holds like this. That the Maharam Shif explains the reason for the different gusos is like this. The Rambam holds when is there a problem making cheese with rennet only if afterwards the cheese has a flavor. Well, as long as the rennet itself came from a kosher animal, only if the cheese has a flavor of it. So now you have a problem of loss of a follow. But if you were to use, that would apply, though, when you're using the skin, when you're using the stomach lining of an animal that otherwise is kosher. But if the animal is otherwise itself also, then it doesn't even matter. Whether it gives a flavor, then it's not going to be bottled, because dover hamamid, something that causes a change, in this case, that makes the milk into cheese, is going to be also regardless and is not bottled. So you have different ways of looking at it, different proportions, understanding of whether we're saying that always it's going to be also the nois in tam, or is it that sometimes it'll be also even if not the nois in tam, just by virtue of the fact that the keva, that the piece of lining came from a non-kosher animal. Rashi also adds a point over here. Now, what happens, for example, so let's say you take the keva, let's say you take the stomach as a whole, and you salt it in order to kasher it, and then you find, and you left the milk in there, you didn't pour out, you didn't get out this congealed milk beforehand. So then Rashi says it would definitely be, Rashi says, it seems to me it would be isu gomer, it would be absolutely bosu b'cholav, and therefore, and there's no way that I have no power to be master. On the other hand, Rashi goes on to say, some say it's mutter, and they bring the proof from Dugan Sha'ola b'cha'ara, because not by that. You could argue over here, why is the milk in the stomach osir? Is only because it gives a flavor into the lining of the stomach, gave a flavor into it. And now if you put that into the cheese, then we knock by knock. But Rashi says, no, absolutely not. It's a distance from one another, it's east from west. Because the fish itself, fine, it absorbs flesh from the plate, but the fish itself is completely mutter to eat. There's no problem, at least from the point of view of kashrus, of eating fish that absorbed a taste of meat. Now, the issue of health, that's another matter, but whatever. So now, he wants to eat it with kurtach, which is a milchik dip. You're going to say because of the flesh flavor. At that point already, it didn't come from a moshus. It didn't come from the actual substance of meat. It came from a nosen tam itself. But as opposed to over here, Rashi says, you have a stomach that you salted with the milk inside. There's no question. One gives a flavor to the other, and they both become osir and chaticha nasis nevela. And now, any flavor that comes out of it is going to be osir, and is going to make the cheese that you make from it osir. So that's how it is. Rashi also points out in this connection, you also have the problem. Min b'mina, kol shehu, you also have the problem. We've discussed before, Rabbi Yehuda holds that min b'mina, loy bottle ever, and Rashi has things like that. So in fact, Rashi first says, I used to hold that it's mutter, as long as they don't put in other milk, and then he says, now I made a mistake in that, and actually it would be osir. And Rashi goes on at some length over here discussing the relevant halachas from this. So the bottom line is, in other words, you want to eat the keva, the fourth stomach of an animal, and we're going to learn later in Armasefta, that's one of the three parts you're supposed to give to a kohen, make sure if it's coming from a nursing animal, that you first empty it out all the congealed, curdled milk in there, otherwise, as Rashi is saying over here, you're going to have an enormous problem of kasher. So the Braisa continues, the Mishnah continues rather, Ksheira Shiyonka Minatrefa, a kosher animal that nursed and ingested milk from a trefa animal, Kevosa Asura, now the contents of the stomach, the milk in there, is actually going to be osur because it came from a trefa animal, so you would not be allowed to use it to make cheese, to curdle cheese. Trefa shiyonkum and akshera. On the other hand, the other way around, if it was a trefa animal that nursed from a kosher one and then it was shechted, kevosa muteras, the stomach content of it is going to be mutter, and you're going to be allowed to use it as the starter for cheese. Because in both cases the milk is collected in its stomach. It's not something that came from the animal itself. In other words, we're going to have there's a concept, something that comes out of a non-kosher animal is itself non-kosher. We're going to learn about it in Masechta Bechoros in a couple of months, that's the thing. Whereas something that comes from a tahor is generally mutter. But here, in this case, it doesn't come from the baby animal. It comes into it from something else. Therefore, we go according to the source of it, the mother animal that it nursed from, which is trefa or ksheira, as the case may be. Okay? So the Gemara asks, in the first part of the Mishnah, when he said, keva slivit gechavim v'shel nevela, we said the stomach contents of an animal that was killed by a goy, or of nevela, we said it's also, the question is, keva slivit gechavim lav nevela, isn't any way, what a goy kills an animal, or shafts an animal, is anyway considered a nevela, so why are we counting them as two different things? In the first parak, we learned that if a goy shafts an animal, even if it was otherwise a proper shechita, it's still considered a nevela. The answer is Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna explains, no, kevas ovid kachav means something else. Hachav, the lekeach demon, ovid kachav maskilin. We're talking about where a yid bought a goat from a goy, and then he shechted it and found milk curdled inside it. V'chayshinon, so now we have to be concerned, shema yonach min atrefa, that this goat, before he was baby goat, before he bought it, may have nursed from a trefa, and that is why we're saying that's also. So you have two different cases. One where you bought a live animal from a goy, and then you shechted it, but we're concerned that the goy may have fed it with non-kosher milk. And the second one is where the animal itself is nevela, and then anything you find in its stomach is going to be also just like it itself. So the Gemara asks, v'chayshinon, are we concerned about that? I'll be concerned about that a kosher animal may have nursed a non-kosher one. Vatsnan, we learn in a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa, so it's Vatanya. Lutchen bakes them in the oven. You're allowed to buy eggs from Goy and Vainchushin, Lemishum Nevela, Lemishum Shrepa. You don't have to worry that it came from a Nevela or a Shrepa Bull. That's why you can go buy a dozen eggs in the store and they don't need a hashgacha on them because you don't know. As long as you know that they're eggs of a kosher bird, you don't simonim of them earlier in the Masechta. But in any case, commercial eggs that are sold nowadays are almost universally chicken eggs, so you don't have a problem with that. And you don't have to worry that an individual chicken in the flock was nevela or tricha. So why should we be concerned all of a sudden over here about the goat that it may have nursed from a tricha? So the answer is fine. You're right. Ela ema chayshin and shemi yonach min atmeya. Fine. It's not that it may have nursed from a tricha animal, but it may have nursed from a tome animal. So the farmer, the goyish farmer who raised this animal, may at one point have had. And it said this goat nursed from a female horse or a female pig or whatever. So they want to ask you, Maishna Tshrefa Dalei Chashinen, or Maishna Tmei Dalei Chashinen. Well, why would we not be concerned about that, that the mother it nursed from may have been a Tshrefa, but we are concerned that it may have been from a Tmei? And the answer is Tshrefa, Lo Shtifa, because an animal to be Tshrefa is really not that common. Fine, you have all the cases that we learned earlier in the Masechta, all the various conditions by which an animal can become Tshrefa, but in the aggregate, they're not so common. Tmeya shticha was non-kosher animals are very common, and therefore there's a concern that the goyish farmer may have had the animal noose from one of them at that point. So the Gemara says, ishchicha, yeah, if it's that common, I feel gabi didan mechush, then we should be asking even the stomach contents of a goat that was raised by a yid. What if he had it noosed by behemoth tmeya? And the answer is, the difference is, ananda bat lunin minay, because we stay away from eating a dove or tummy. We don't eat horses, we don't eat pigs or whatever. This is chazinin lahu. So if we see a kosher animal is going to try to nurse from a non-kosher one, matzushinin lahu, we will separate them. So therefore, it's highly unlikely that a Jew's farm, that a kosher animal is going to nurse from a non-kosher one. Lo gozru b'hurabban, and therefore the chacham have no reason to make a zeder just in case it would happen. Inhu, whereas they, the goyim, they don't stay away from them. They'll eat these animals indiscriminately. So if they see a kosher animal nursing from a non-kosher one, it's not going to matter to them. They're not going to separate them. So therefore, if they do see such a thing happening, we're trying to nurse four species, they're not going to prevent it. And therefore, the chum have a zera. Therefore, the chum are going to make a zera that don't use the stomach contents of don't make cheese with the stomach contents of that animal, because what if the milk that it had was from a non-kosher species? Okay, so all of that is one answer. So again, according to that answer of Rav Huna, the first part of our mission is telling us two dinim. Number one, if you a yid buy an animal, a nursing animal from a goy, and you find milk in the baby animal's stomach, you're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to use it for cheese. Number two, if an animal is a nevela, and that could be however, it could be that a goy killed it, it could be that it died naturally, it could be whatever, then you're also not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat or use the stomach contents of it. Shmuel says a different answer. The Mishnah is not telling us two different cases. It's telling us one continuous case. Namely, the stomach content of an animal that was shechted by a goy, namely, which is nevela, then that milk would be also. But the Mishnah, in other words, the Mishnah is mentioning the word nevela to help explain to us why that milk is also. Why should it be also? You're going to say, what's wrong with a goisha? Did it realize that then it's nevela? Now, the question is, Tosfa says, okay, but we already know from the beginning of our Masechta that if a goisha is an animal, it's nevela. So the Mishnah could have just said, kevas otkechav masura. Why does it even need to say the word nevela in the first place? So one point is the piskei vid. The Piskei Arid gives an answer, but after all, we learned from the Yom Masechta, conceivably, sometimes you might have a goy shechts an animal, the shame of a dezara, and then it's going to be also b'hana. But here, we're not concerned about that here. And we had the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that earlier in our Masechta, that's at the end of the second parak, that's at Stamach Sheves Nochi Lava Dezara, that in general, a goy is thinking about his getchke, and when he kills an animal by default, we assume he has his getchke in mind. So now our Mishnah would want to tell us that it's not so, and it's only also b'achila, but it's not also b'hana. And then another Teres Chaim gives another answer. We would have thought it's also only Dirabbanon. Maybe it says Maris Ayin, and therefore by saying Nevela makes it clear it has the same status as Nevela itself, which is also Menachayla. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Mi Amar Shmuel Hafit," but did Shmuel really say that? Va'amar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel also say, why did the Chachamim ask if cheese made by Goyim? Now, we have a concept of Chol of Yisrael, but the question is, the reason why we have a concept, why we have a Gzeira of eating and drinking only Chol of Yisrael is because the Goyim may have milked a non-kosher animal and is selling that as the milk of a kosher animal. Or they may have mixed two different kinds of milk together. But when it comes to making butter or cheese or whatever, it can't because the fat particle in milk of kosher animals are different in consistency than those of non-kosher animals, and therefore milk from a non-kosher animal is not really be able to be made into cheese. Nowadays they have technological processes that they could, but with the technology they had in those days, there was no way to make horse milk or camel milk or pig milk or whatever into cheese. So then on the face of it, there should be no problem if you buy cheese. Necessarily, it was made from the milk of a kosher animal. Nevertheless, we know, as the Gemara tells us and as the Mishnah tells us, in Avodah Zarah, that it's also so now, in fact, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says that Rabbi Shmuel one time asked Rabbi Yeshua that, and Rabbi Yeshua didn't give him the real answer, and then the Amoraim discussed various reasons for the din. And Shmuel gives a reason, the reason is, because again, the Goyim, where do they get their rennet from to make the cheese? They use a piece of the stomach lining of an animal that's Nevela. Now, that implies Hakeva Gufa Shalya, implying the problem is they use a piece of the stomach lining, and therefore it's also implying that the stomach content itself would have been mutter if they had used that to make their cheese, and therefore, so where Shmuel over here is saying that even the stomach content, the Keva, is also going to be also. So how do you reconcile these two things? And the answer is like Kasha, Kan Kodem Chazara, Kan Ma'afa Chazara. There's no contradiction. Because in that Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, when Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Yeshua the reason for the takana, and Rabbi Yeshua gives him at first a reason that it has to do with the with the stomach content, and then Rabbi Shmuel asks on that and says that doesn't really work, and Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind and gave him and gave a different reason. So therefore, so before he changed his mind, then we would say that the keva itself is actually awesome. But after Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind, then Shmuel tells us in Avodah Zarah that fine, if they use the keva itself, it might not be a problem, but the problem is that they use not just the keva, they use a piece of the actual stomach lining, and that's nevela. And therefore that makes the cheese also. So that would be a reason. So Shmuel's explanation of our Mishnah would go according to the original understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. So it's called Mishnah Lezazim and Mekayma. The Mishnah, once it was phrased a certain way, then it remains that way even when the halacha changed. In fact, Tosfos points out, first of all, the Gemara could have asked on Shmuel directly that the Mishnah is saying that he or Shmuel is saying the problem is only that they use O Kavas Nevela, implying the Kavah itself is Mutter, whereas our Mishnah says that it's also that the Gemara preferred to bring a point that Shmuel himself explains that Shmuel himself seems to contradict himself, and the answer is that Shmuel is talking two different stages before Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind and afterwards. So it would come out to that, Tosfos points out, according to that then, the stomach content of a Nevela animal would actually be Mutter. However, Tosfos says nowadays people are noyig to Aser, and therefore so you can't be maple, you can't be maple. But the Evan, it would be mutter. But on the other hand, you would have the problem where Rashi mentions if it was all salted together, the keva together with the content, then you have the whole problem that Rashi went on at some length, where in fact it would be also. In fact, Tosfos brings a gyusa over here that the halacha is that you cannot use the skin of lining of kevas nevela, but you can use the kevas nevela, you can use the keva contents of a nevela, or one that was shefted by a goy, etc. So according to that it would be allowed. Tosfos points out, if the milk was still liquidy and clear, then it would in fact be considered a liquid and it would be outright also. But here we're talking about it was already congealed, it's already curdled by the animal's stomach juices, and it's considered pure shabalma, it's just considered really a waste product, and therefore so you would in fact be allowed to use it. On the other hand, other Rishonim disagree with that and say that you can't. And in practice, when it comes to making cheese, then in practice you can't use you certainly can't use the stomach lining. So actually what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says, if you find it in there and it was salted together in there, or if it was left in there for one day, then it would be also to use it to make cheese, implying that if it wasn't salted and it was taken out within a day, then it would be mutter. So sometimes you might actually be able to do that. As far as using the actual stomach lining, then the halacha is, as brought in Shulchan Aruch, that it depends whether the cheese has a flavor of it, if it came from a kshera, if it came from a tmeya, then it's going to ask her regardless as the Rambam shita, because then it's a dovra mamid, and dovra mamid is never bottled. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue talking about these dinim of rennet and stomach contents and all that, what is going to ask her and what is not going to ask her. We'll continue with that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.